the fastest, quickest, smoothest footwork. He is the Fred Astaire of jiu-jitsu, the Fred Astaire of judo, but he's the Dom DeLuise of pizza eating. I don't get it. I don't get this.
Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late. Now everybody. Wake up late. Everybody. Wake up late. Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs and now you know.
We're the hottest show in the place.
Wake up late now everybody.
Wake up late
now everybody.
Wake up late
now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show podcast. I'm Dougie Almeida in Danger Studios, and it's a special day. It's a end of the week show with two comedians in here. Well, we usually have comedians, but our special guest today, Mr. Brian Scalero.
Hi.
Who is our headliner last night at Wise Guys Comedy Show. And tonight, if you're a Brayman Motors Car member, you'll be seeing him at the iHeart Theater in West Palm Beach, along with James Camacho from New York.
Yo.
How's it going, man?
Very good. How are you? Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Well, you know, we had an interesting show last night, a decent crowd. At first, it was a little concerning, you know, at Tavolino's. We were a little concerned because there was, even from the get-go, they thought, and then I realized it was the week after Thanksgiving.
Which
can normally be a...
slow week.
Yeah.
We had another week originally planned. I forgot what it was. August? And then we moved it.
Hmm.
Yeah,
we were talking before the show about the challenges of running a room.
Yeah, yeah.
And all it takes from us, right?
Yeah, you must lose your mind. You probably don't know where you are.
Exactly. there's times I ask myself because there's benefits of it.
Yeah.
And like I said, get to meet people. You know, so we're doing gigs. Like today, this morning was fun. I got to go do the Paul Casanova show with Jimmy Schubert.
Yeah.
Who's now become a friend because he does the shows. He's come out. We met through doing shows. So that's a positive aspect of it, but you know,
depends on who you meet is positive.
Yeah,
yeah, but I think the longer you're in the business, the more you realize how many negative aspects are of meeting people.
Well, it's interesting you should say that because I spent 29 years of my life as a financial advisor.
Right.
So these are usually people that you would think are responsible
and.
You know, and moral, have a moral compass.
And then you lost your mind and started doing this.
Well, I was...
when you had your life all set.
Yeah, people... But you know what?
Brian walks up here and goes, this guy's house is nice. He should have just stayed doing what he's doing.
I was like, why is he... That's what I said. Why is he torturing himself?
Yeah.
Just enjoy your life.
But see, that's the problem. I spent all my adult life in a responsible position running that industry and doing that to take care of my parents, for example.
Right, right.
I didn't have kids. I had parents.
Right.
So I had to do all that, so... From like I was 20s until my 40s, every morning I woke up was predicated on me taking care of something else or carrying the load.
Yeah,
wow.
So now part of me is like, fuck, I want to do what I want to do.
Right.
Right? So when you go up on stage and make people laugh, you know, whether you're making $100, $50, or just getting a chili cheesesteak for it.
Yeah.
That's valuable to me.
Well, I get you. I would, I guess I have been doing, I've been doing it for 25 years.
All right.
I forgot how long you said you were doing it. But I'm just like, you know, I would fucking love like a year off. Just a fucking year off.
Yeah.
I've lost my mind in the past 5 years.
Comedy or acting or just for show business?
Yeah, well, just take a year off of show business. I would love to. But I can't even take a day off. But I can't even afford it.
Yeah.
But taking a year off, my God, what a...
Well, that
I would love that.
What would you do? Where would you go?
I would just not go far away from comedy clubs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would just fucking take.
Where are there no comedy clubs? India? You have to go to India or something.
No, there's comedy clubs there.
Oh, yeah. Fuck! There's comedy clubs.
Yeah, they're very funny.
No,
funny.
Yeah.
Just anything. Well, we interrupted you. What were you saying?
No. I'm just. You know, it's a flow. This whole thing. This whole podcast is a flow. And but you know, the idea of taking time off.
That sounds great. Like, I'm taking a vacation since 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last vacation I took.
All right. As a on a more professional level, let's say, of the profession I know, as a financial advisor, if I wanted to take a break, let's say I had some money put away, and I said, you know what, I'm just done. I want to fucking wake up tomorrow and just worry about what kind of cheese I'm going to put in my omelet. You know, if that's all I wanted to worry about, I would do that, and I would have 2 years until my licenses. I'd have to go back and go through all the testing again and have to go through all. I know you could put them on hiatus for 2 years.
It's great.
Now, well, the question is, how many of my clients would I lose
in that 2 years? Well, I'm not telling you to take a break. I'm saying, why do comedy?
No, no, but I'm saying in the sense that you're talking about even taking a break from doing comedy, like taking a true vacation as a person. Yeah, yeah. Like I said, waking up and not having any thought of what the fuck, you know, the only thing, you wake up every day going, you know, tabla rasa. You know what I mean? You're ready to fucking go.
And you can't take a break. Not with if you were responsible for my money and you were out of town.
Yeah,
I'd be flipping. I'm not calling.
Hey, Brian, listen. I got your. Don't worry about your retirement account. Just check back to me in another 24 months.
Yeah. But you would still be working because then, like he said, like you have clients that would call you and you would be whatever Tabo, whatever you said, and then you would have to still answer your phone.
So no, technically, if I was going to do that, I would I would have to hand my clients over to someone else to service.
And what if they like them more, and then you get back? They're like, well, we're good with Greg.
That could happen. You know, like my wife, and where she's a hairdresser.
Yeah.
Like sometimes there's people that take a little vacation. I have to take if they're sick or something happens, and they'll go, and then my wife will start cutting their hair, and then when the guy comes back, they're like, I think I want to stay with her. Yeah.
That's you know? You got to do. Like in sports, it's like that. You got to take advantage of opportunity. My barber did the same thing. I needed a haircut. He didn't want to give it to me, and then I went to this other guy. I go to that same guy now.
He didn't want to give it to you.
Because he wasn't available, but I had like
that's very different.
So it's not like he looked at you.
I don't want to fucking give you a haircut.
No, but here was the thing.
I don't think he's your barber.
He was still giving haircuts. He was still giving haircuts that day. He's like, I don't have any room, but I was like, I had an interview with an agency. I had no idea what he said.
It was trying to make a joke.
Oh, what was it?
You were thinking really serious.
It's a comedy podcast, dude. You know, I just want to keep you.
You said he didn't want to give you a haircut. I was like, who was he? Was he a guy selling hot dogs? But that's what the joke was. And you were like, no! This is serious shit. I'm going to answer this question.
That's really funny. I should slow down so I can get that.
We were trying to. We were basically talking about the subject matter of, like, what if we were just take a year off? Whatever it is we're doing.
It seems to be like every time I go out of town, that's when my agents want to call me in for an audition.
Right.
So it's like if I needed a money question, I bet you my financial guy would be out of town. If I needed a question to my manager, I'm sure my manager would be on vacation.
Right.
It's almost like if you write to somebody on Facebook and you need a favor from them, you didn't happen to check that his dad just died. Mm. And he posted on Facebook, my dad just died. And you're like, hey, man, could you get me in the bananas? That's funny.
Hasbrook Heights.
Yeah.
That's the one place.
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, but I think you can't walk away from comedy. Like, there's comics who go, they say, oh, they're going to make money, so they go on the cruise ships.
Yeah.
And then they leave the clubs. Mm. And they're in the cruise ships for a year or two making money. Then it's hard to get back into the clubs.
Some of them. I think it depends on who, look at somebody like, I don't want to badmouth them, but you go on, if you meet somebody, they can get you in, like, the good rooms, you know?
Right.
So I guess if you still have connections, you can get back in, you know? But, yeah, I don't think you can take, I can't take a day off, but mine's more financial. I can't take a day off. Yeah,
I got to keep the cheese coming.
Yeah.
You know,
cheese sounds great right now.
Yeah.
This house,
I'm like, hungry too.
This house is, he's hungry all the fucking time.
We look like we're hungry all the time. This guy.
It's all a lie. I'm the hungriest one.
That's what I'm saying. No, it's all, we don't want to get me on the topic of endomorphs and mesomorphs. I'll fucking flip out.
We're talking about aliens?
No, here we go. Endomorphs.
Sounds sexual.
There's three predisposed genetic body types.
Oh, I know. I know what these are.
The chubby ones.
Yeah. Endomorphs, ectomorphs, mesomorphs. So if you look at Jason Alexander on the first couple seasons of Seinfeld and when he was on when he was in Pretty Woman,
right,
he looked fat, but he wasn't fat because he's wide-hipped, he's endomorph. So people say when that Canadian female comic ripped on was doing the fat shaming video, became famous, she was like, "It's not a race." I was like, "Well, actually, it is a type of as three, just like tall people,
right."
Have tall skeletons, do no work on their own. They didn't do stretching exercises. You know?
Right. That's a good problem to have.
There's why.
Unlike my father
should
tell me, if you hang from a pole, you can get taller.
So me and you, we're endomorphs, and we could eat less than him. But if we don't exercise every day, then it's impossible.
Right. It just fills in like a busy elevator. Fast.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys are husky though. You got four arms. You have a nice chest. You know.
What do you mean nice chest? Well, listen. That's a guy like you who's like what are you like 22?
25.
Yeah. See, a guy like you who's you don't you know. First of all, you're never going to be one of those guys who have to worry about your weight.
I don't know.
You know, yeah. Unless you, you know.
I get older, you know.
No, that doesn't matter how old you get, because that's who we are. That's like, it's like a constant worry. Like, you know, like guys, like, you don't have to worry about your weight until your doctor starts telling you about it. You know, that's when you got to worry about it. Until then, but a guy like me has to worry about it when my wife brings home peanut M&Ms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got to worry about that. But you don't have to worry about that.
Well, I mean, I maintain this. Like, I don't just eat whatever.
Yeah, we
I
get
want.
It. But you're, yeah. Listen, when you're maintaining stuff at the age of 23,
yeah,
you know, it's like babysitting one kid that sleeps, okay?
I know,
you get the point?
I get the point, yeah. All right.
Anyway, back to the business of comedy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy how, like, timing-wise, forget about just the business, but fuck, if I don't go on stage at least a couple times a week,
right.
If I miss a week and then try to get on stage, it's like trying to start an old lawnmower.
Right, right. Yeah, right? I agree. Yeah, I can't take it. It's hard to, sorry, buddy. It's hard to restart. It's like, but if I'm doing 15 minutes in Manhattan and Los Angeles, and then I have to go back to start doing 45 minutes again on the road, I'm like, oh, I haven't done 45 minutes in a month.
Right.
And I know that first show is going to be a little stop and start, you know? Anyway.
Well, last night, we almost did 40.
That's what I'm saying.
But it was a lighter show. We did it purposely because of the crowd.
There's more jokes. You go through more jokes with a smaller crowd because they're not, you know.
Right. You don't have to wait and pause for all the laughter and everybody, you know. But thank God. I mean, it was interesting. We had a party there. You called them the Olive Garden table.
They were very nice.
They were nice.
Yeah.
And the old lady that walked up, the grandma, grandma likes you. She really liked you. I'm like, oh, that's nice. Thanks, Grandma.
They didn't have to listen to that. They went out to enjoy a night by themselves and talk to themselves. Instead, we made them listen to shit jokes.
They were
all shit jokes.
They were watching us, but they were I was watching them when they were watching you. They weren't even looking at you, but they were laughing. Like, they were listening.
Yeah. They came around. Yeah.
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 Yeah. That was a thing. It could have gone horribly wrong. They were just like, oh, and they just kind of talk loud.
Mm.
Like, I've been in a show where that happened, where they brought a table in to eat. We'll watch the show. Like, yeah, just coincidentally. And then all of a sudden, you know, they didn't give a fuck. They were talking like it was Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh,
you know, they were just going off. And that's what I was worried about when they came in. I'm like,
well, they're Asians, right?
I was a little ambiguous on their nationality.
Asians are a little more quiet, so.
Did you think they were Asian or you think they're Hispanic?
I think they were a little Filipino, maybe.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah? Yeah, you were, you know.
You're talking about the people on the right?
Yeah, the table. The dinner table
came in. They looked, I don't know. I thought they were Italian from the back.
No, I'm talking about the table in the back. The eight.
Yeah, the dinner table, yeah.
But there's the other group, that was a group of six. It was three couples.
The family.
That's to the left. We're talking about the back.
Stage right, yeah.
And by the way,
they're Asian. They were Asian.
Now, by the way, congratulations for you for calling those. Well, not congratulations, but interesting on you calling those guys gay.
Which guys?
The guy with the turtleneck.
Oh, I'm just joking.
I think you might have been.
Yeah. You know,
I think they were, because they said something and they were like, I was like, you guys gonna, whatever, are you guys on a date? And then the guy goes, not till later. Something like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
The old, I'm only on Tuesdays.
Also, if you bring a guy to an Italian restaurant and another guy's a turtleneck, I think he might be dated.
That guy looked, I mean, I brought him up. I mean, he got him attention at the end of the night. He, again, I thought he looked like a bad guy. And like he looked like a character on Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
The black guy?
Yeah.
With the turtle.
Yeah, because he was like 6 foot seven.
He looked like the guy in Die Hard who opens the vault.
Yeah.
You know, the quarterback is toast. Which guy? That guy has one of the best knockout noises. When I can actually imitate the black guy from Die Hard when he gets punched out by the limo driver, he goes, that's the noise he makes. He goes, and he gets knocked out, and that's the end of his character.
Yeah.
But it's just a great noise that he made. What a great acting choice.
Being an actor and stuff like that, like we talked about this, you mentioned that you did stand-up. You started doing stand-up to get to acting.
No, I liked both, but I knew that. That's not correct. I like both, and I wanted to do both, but I knew that acting could come from stand up. But I didn't do stand up to get to acting.
Right. Okay. It wasn't an ends to a means. Yeah,
Just
do it.
It was a bonus that I was hoping for.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a Subway. I auditioned for a Subway commercial the other day. Yeah, and it was great. Is it a good thing? Like, you've done more acting, you guys both, than me.
Yeah.
And
that's where we live.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I've done, I did some commercials. I did a Nissan commercial, done some other, like, local commercials and shit like that. And I did some stage acting, all right? But that's nothing compared to you guys. So, when the casting director, the guy who's
nothing, no, you said you did Shakespeare. That's not nothing. That's hard.
That's very hard. But yeah. I meant, you know, I mean, it was city. It was Florida.
Like,
it was Florida. It was the Miami Center Stage Theater. What do they call that again? Equity. What do they call that again? The city theater. Yeah, commercial. I don't know what
the Bramin Theater.
No, what do they call it? Like,
I think you got it right.
Something theater Equity. They call it.
Shakespeare's not easy, man.
Yeah, good seeing you all in Otto. You have come to meet your trouble. The fashion of the world is to avoid cost, and you encounter it.
Well, why don't we get out of here now?
Hey, can't follow Shakespeare.
Can't follow
Schultz.
We're talking about acting. So. All right, let me get my bearings.
Yeah, I probably have to cut that part out.
Yeah, I'm looking at an edit moment.
And we also have to cut the part
out. Do you edit your podcast?
Where he mentioned
Do you edit it?
I could. It's a lot of extra work.
I'll do it for free.
Yeah. We recorded 48 minutes, and there's only 15 on the actual final cut.
Go ahead.
No, so with the acting thing, I thought this was funny, okay? Is it good when the person's filming you during the casting or the audition if they laugh and they have to stop the filming because they laugh too hard at what you just did?
You're talking about commercials.
Yeah, it's a commercial for Subway. I'm at the audition. I'm doing this thing, and the guy laughs. He goes, I'm sorry, but I didn't mean, you know?
I don't know. He should have let it go. I don't understand why he should have.
Yeah,
that makes no sense. Well, that only helps you and only makes him look good. Maybe, like... The type of commercial. I don't know. He should have left it on. I don't know why he shut it off.
Oh, he stopped the tape.
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
Or something had happened after, too.
Middle of the cut, or he cut and then he stopped.
I don't know if that's why. He asked me to come back and do it again.
Yeah.
Because he said there was something in there. There was something audio, and he went to cut it, and he ended up cutting the whole thing.
Well, I think I ended up doing my experience with commercials is like, they can be like, good job, let's do it three different ways. Right. Oh, my God. But it doesn't come down to what you did. It's what comes down to what the advertisers want, or the company wants.
And I know in the casting, they were like the way they have it set up through the system.
Yeah.
During those castings, the client is watching this live. Hmm. Like in other words, it's going directly to a feed to them, and they're like, all right, as it goes, they're watching and they're picking. Right,
So they could like you, but I think if you leave feeling like you could get it, that's a good sign. You boost your ego, and then you'll get better auditioning next time.
Have you ever gotten a gig that you said there's no way in hell I got that gig, and then you got a call?
Absolutely, yeah.
Ryan,
you
can't think of one.
Yeah,
no, yeah, for sure. That's absolutely.
I did something. I was like late to the audition. I had my car for some reason in the city, so I couldn't find parking. This is in like FIDI, the audition financial district.
Okay,
and. I'm running late. I double park. I don't give a shit. I run to the audition. As soon as I get in there, you're going in. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like huffing and puffing. I do the lines. I was in there for like 15 seconds. I left and I'm like, there's no way I got it because I was unprepared and everything. And then I got it. I was like, of course I get that one. And everything I actually prepare for. And then I'm early too.
It's almost like you didn't have enough time to think about it. Just went in there.
I think I might have helped.
What Robin Williams said in the. That documentary that is set on HBO. Did you guys see that? It was wonderful. The Robin Williams documentary on HBO.
I should have.
It was wonderful. But he said something that I have always agreed with. He's like acting. He's like it's really. He's like I didn't become better at acting until I stopped getting in my own way when I didn't plan anything, and I would just be there. And he's like, I didn't plan anything, and then you'd be surprised how much you're doing when you're not doing anything, when you think you're not doing something.
Yeah.
So,
I always thought that was a good quote.
That's my wife, she doesn't know much about comedy, but turns out she probably does. You know, when I first started, I was at an open mic at the Improv, and I had my 5-minute note sheet in front of me going over it and over it and over it, and she comes over and she's like, almost knocks it out of my hand. She's like, you're funny. You know, don't just go up there and do. You're doing 5 minutes.
Definitely the last minute planning never works. You know,
it's not
like changing a set at the last minute because, you know, we're talking about people that open and shut stuff like that.
Right.
I was in San Antonio at one of this comedy festival, and some guy goes up and does his Asian wife bit.
Hello, like I am.
And the thing was, he was horrible at it. Like my voice is a little more on.
Did he do a voice?
Know? Yeah. No, he tried. He was like
an
Asian
accent.
It was more like ding dang ga. You know, it was one of those fucking ridiculous ones.
I think after the Simpsons did that whole Krusty the Clown thing where he was doing, where he was doing the Asian act. Remember that? Where it was a stand-up special in a mall, and Janine Garofalo was in it, and a bunch of other comics. And then Bart wanted them to get crusty, and Krusty did all the old Asian jokes.
Oh yeah,
and he flapped his dicky. Yeah, the thing that flapped his dicky. He goes, "Me frappy dicky, wrong time." And it was like so bad that the place got angry and it ruined his career for a while. It's like that was how long ago? That was like 25 years ago, 20 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah.
And somebody's still doing that. But that's hilarious.
I don't even do the voice anymore. My mom has a really hard. I don't even do the voice. Like when I do her voice, I just do my voice. I just go, "She said this, and here's what she said."
Right.
Yeah, but that every comic's different. Bobby Lee makes a living off of doing his dad. You that funny.
Yeah.
You ever see Bobby Lee's
back?
Yeah. It's like great. It's
hilarious. Yeah. But it's truthful.
But it's him also.
Yeah.
It's his real family.
Well, I had
very different than me doing it.
that's a great point because I had that, because I was on the road when driving back and forth with Schubert. Whenever you'd sit with somebody like that, you want to find out, ask questions, get advice, and get some pointers. And I said, I want to challenge myself to write, more things outside just my own. Self-deprecating, I want to try to find other things.
Point of view. Stuff.
Yeah, and he says, and I said, I always feel like sometimes when I go to a festival or one of these contests that somebody will look at it and judge my act of that because I spend a core of my act talking about my relationship with my wife who's
right.
Asian,
yeah.
and the things that caught, and it's like he goes no, but that's your life. You've been with this woman for 25 years. It's not like, you have a girlfriend that's Asian. This is your life. You sit and eat with the family. You're experiencing the culture.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As opposed to,
That stuff's better for contests anyways because you only have like 5 minutes in these contests. So that's all they want to see is who you are.
Right.
If you try going like, this is what I think, and people don't agree with you, and you have 3 minutes left, you're fucked.
It's interesting. By the way, speaking of interesting things, usually during the opening of the show, we like to talk about some of the craziest things we've seen in the last week or two. But one of the craziest things I saw was this dumbass who thought he'd go on a tandem hang gliding. You see this guy? He wanted
on the news.
Yeah, it was. They showed the video of this guy who said, all right, the tandem hang gliding. You get on a big kite.
Yeah,
it's like tandem jumping. Like parachuting, I guess.
Right.
But this guy gets on the thing, and they're in Norway or something, and the mountain's beautiful. And this guy, he's got the harness thing, and the guy there with the big kite, the thing, and they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
They run down, they take off, and they realize the guy's not even harnessed to the fucking kite. The guy who's paying for the ride. So automatically, they fall down, and the guy is holding on to the
Yeah,
he's holding on to the hang gliding kite, and the hang gliding guy is trying not to crash the kite now because he's trying to help the guy stay on the fucking kite.
Yeah,
and he's realizing, oh fuck, I forgot to put this guy's latch on.
No way in Norway.
Two and a half minutes. You watch this poor guy trying to hold on.
Yeah,
does he die?
They actually make it. It takes two and a half minutes to get to the base down there, and God bless the guy. I mean, he fucked up for not latching the guy in.
Yeah, yeah.
But just for the way he handled it, he was like the Sully of fucking hang gliding guys.
Good for him. Yeah.
No, he held on to the guy, and the guy kept hanging on.
Wow.
So when the guy landed, they land so fast that the guy ended up tearing his bicep because he was holding him when he landed. You know what I mean? It could have been a lot worse.
I feel like in those situations, you see it in the movies when someone's hanging off a cliff,
right?
And you grab them. Like, I always watch that. I'm like, dude, that guy would be fucking dead. There's no way I could hang up. I think when you're in that moment with the adrenaline's running, you have to save that person's life. I think you can pull it off.
Yeah. So you think you get that like Hulk superhuman strength?
Yeah. Well, I think we only use like 10% of our effort or whatever, our bodies,
right?
Which is normal life situations. But I think when I think even on stage, we kick it up a notch just a little bit,
Well, like in your audition, you realize that subconsciously you had that fight or flight moment because you're fucking stressed. You're running in there.
Yeah.
I remember when I auditioned one time to be bumped from headline or middle to headliner at this club. I get there and I was sick as a dog. I mean, I was spitting. I had so much mucus and when I'd spit, it bounced. You know what I mean? It was disgusting. No, it was horrible. But when I got to the club,
that's horrible.
Yeah,
just bouncing. Like,
picturing it,
can you imagine?
I really wish you weren't that descriptive.
Well, thank you. I like to be. I'm a wordsmith.
Bounces back.
It's like a super ball. It bounces higher the second time.
Okay.
So I, at the end, it was green, somewhat green.
just what happens?
It's whatever. Yeah, exactly. But I was sick as a dog. But when I got there, I realized the importance in my mind was like, I got to do well. I can't sit there and go, I was sick. So that's why you won't give me this. I came out and crushed.
And you go on and you feel better, though.
Yeah. And then, after the show, I went back and I thought I was going to fucking die.
Yeah,
But for that one moment, You know, you give it all you got, right? When you're dealing with adversity.
I had the flu. The first time, a Broadway comedy club, the first time they ever, one of the first time they hosted me on the weekend, I had the flu. I couldn't cancel. You can't cancel. Then you never get another shot.
Yeah.
So I just did it. And then, yeah, I had, on stage, I felt fine. I was so, like, congested. I couldn't hear anything. Yeah. I couldn't hear the crowd laugh. Maybe they weren't laughing. But,
yeah,
I could see their faces. So I just, right. I think I even amped it up. I was louder, which actually might have helped my act. I used to be really quiet and like kind of deadpan.
Now, have you seen our friend James here on stage much?
Yeah, in New York.
Yeah, yeah. And now you live in L.A., right?
I live in L.A., but I'm from New York, so I go back twice a year.
How long you stay when you're there?
About 3 weeks at a time.
Yeah.
About a month altogether.
You prefer being in L.A.?
I like L.A. because of the acting.
Right. But if you take away that, the living aspect of it.
The weather's nice. The nature's nice. But I'm a New Yorker at heart, and that's where I should be.
I love seeing you at the comic. Like, when you just walk in any New York club, I love seeing you there.
I'm happier there.
Yeah.
It feels cool to see you.
I'm happier. There's more, like, I love the Comedy Store. I think the Comedy Store is the best comedy club in America right now. And I love going there, and I love my hike, and the food's good.
Right.
But really, the food's good in New York, too. But it's like you do one thing a day in L.A.
Yeah.
You leave your house once, and you go, done. You know, in New York, you do like 8 things in a row.
It's great comparison, right?
Yeah, you don't. And then every once do you feel tired, you're just like... I don't know, you just feel alive there. There's a drive in New York. I think my personality now is both. Like, there's a drive in New York. You see the buildings, you see the lights, and you want to succeed in whatever you're doing. And then if you are, when you go to L.A. and you're like, okay, it's not that important. Let's just sit down. Let's go look at a waterfall. Let's fuck.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so now I'm kind of both, which is confusing and horrible. Because I have a drive for my career, but I really don't want to succeed.
Come in conflict.
So I really don't know what I'm doing anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it
that's beautiful.
It's yeah.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. That was beautiful.
That I'm out of my mind.
the description of L.A. and New York, that succeeds.
I've been there for 18 years now, so it's definitely a major part of my psyche.
And by the way, that's pretty impressive, dude, hiking up a mountain like that. I mean, that's fucking,
you're talking about the video.
Yeah, when you put that shit on Facebook, I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Runyon, right?
I lost 25 pounds, but I got like 30 to go before I even feel like the person I used to be. But I have a lot. Like, I'm looking at pictures now from me, from the TV show I did with Pam Anderson in 2005, 2006. I look like a completely different person.
Right.
Like, I once showed a picture to somebody in a bar, and he looked at me from the picture of 2006, and he goes, "What happened?"
Yeah,
and then he realized how rude that was, and he goes, "Oh, you got old."
I've been
I got old.
I've been hearing that a lot lately.
I'll tell you, 40 things change.
Yeah,
big time. And I think of all those comics acts I used to watch when I was 14. Like, I always liked the dangerous guys. And then there would always be some guy talking about his body, how him and his wife don't have sex anymore, and my body now is changing. I couldn't be more bored as a 14-year-old watching that. And now I realize what those guys are saying. This whole
terrifies
time.
Me.
Yeah. Well, you got. Listen. I have my own concerns. Like, yeah, I used to be a pretty good athlete and everything. And you look back, people are like that's. Yeah. I hate that fuck. Oh, what happened? You know.
Yeah, I hit my 40s. That's what happened.
Well, you know, for me, what happened was I used to train every fucking like when I was fighting, especially like in soccer. You train. When I was in college and this and that. I train, but from like I don't know from like 01 or 1999 or so till 2004. Or so when I was fighting,
right.
I had a strength coach. I was training. I was so 5-7 days a week. I basically would be training. Let's say every free moment. So I'd go to work. I'd go train and shit. I'd come home at 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
7 days a week. Right. So after the last fight I had 3 months before my dad died, he says, "Don't get in the ring anymore." Uh-huh. I respected his wishes and I quit fighting.
Good.
And after that, when I came home at like 5 o'clock, and I said, "Oh, I can just watch some TV. I don't have to run out the fucking door again and go, you know, to have that incredible dedication to this shit."
Mm. Yeah.
It felt good.
Yeah.
And then, of course, then the pant sizes kept going up.
It's
double XLs.
It also has to do with just being fucking 40. It's amazing how much things change.
Now, it's one thing, like, if somebody, like, as a married man, you know, like, we had, Minda was in, or one of our co-hosts was a girl, is a woman, she's now engaged. You know, I noticed that after she seemed to have gotten engaged, she stopped worrying about looking even sex. Like, you know, the sexy stuff kind of stopped.
Yeah.
It was more like I'm going to my early morning Tuesday college class.
Yeah.
You know, look.
And I'm fine with that look.
Yeah.
That look actually is better for me because I feel like, you know what I mean? Not with your wife, but you know what I'm saying. But like if I see somebody wearing jeans, a hot girl wearing jeans.
Yeah.
And the jeans aren't tight, showing off her ass. She's just like a hot girl that's dressing down.
Right.
Yeah.
The girls think they're not attracting attention. I'm wearing this to not attract attention.
Right.
For me, completely incorrect move. That is more attention getting.
I get it.
I like a hot girl who dresses down.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Right, and less makeup.
Short skirt, long right. jacket. The cake song. Short skirt. Yeah. Long jacket.
It's almost like when a chick puts up, you know, those reading glasses. You know, people thought, oh, they don't look. It makes them hotter.
Yeah. I love a girl in sweatpants.
Yeah,
that's what I do.
Sweatpants. I don't know what does it for me.
I'll take it.
But you know, but I definitely like just a casual look.
I like a girl coming in bed in pajamas.
Like I had an ex girlfriend of mine that was like wherever we'd go, she'd have to wear the tight little shorts. You know, always looking.
Too much.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I was like almost resentful. So when I saw, like you say, when I saw a girl, I was like chilling and like just keeping it under wraps. I was like, look at that woman.
It's like
that's a woman.
It's like seeing a hot waitress. You're like, you could be a stripper, but you're a waitress.
Yeah,
and I respect you.
Yeah, she could do it if she wants.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's saying, no, I'm going to maintain my dignity.
I'm going to, I like that. I find it attractive. Never like strip clubs.
No?
No, never like strip clubs. David, DJ Nash, is an old comic in New York, he used to be, he used to have the good joke. He's like, I don't stay in the strip clubs. You always go with a group of friends. Why would you want that? Hey, guys, I'm going to have a hard on. Why don't you all sit next to me? Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense. Why would you? You know, when you watch these videos and black guys are all fucking one girl, they're like, I would be like, get out of here. You know what I mean? I don't want to find five other guys in the room with me. Yeah. Just go away.
Yeah, no, well, you know.
How do you get a hard on with your friends there?
Well, when me and my buddy used to go, there was a period there of time, I spent over $30,000 one year in a strip club, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Yeah, no, not just one, but, you know.
Spread around.
It was like, you know, I spread the love. I was paying a lot of rents.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I was like the local low-income housing community.
Yeah.
But we did it because it was like a thing. It was like, you know, we would just go and hang out. We were those guys. We'd show up. And we're at that stage where we'd walk in a strip club, and girls would just come over and hang out. And other guys like, hey, can we get girls over here? But they're all hanging to kind of join in the white nightclub, we called it. Hmm. But, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Hey, by the way, I don't go to strip clubs anymore, by the way.
I figured I was going to say. No. I
done. It's after a while, you've done it. You know, you don't read the same comic book over and over again. But now I just go to Asian massage parlors.
Okay.
Yeah.
When were you going to strip clubs? Like, what age?
I think there was a run there from, let's see, it would have been 98, 90, somewhere around 97, 98, 90. Yeah, early 30s.
Yeah, because I try going to strip clubs. None of my friends want to go to strip clubs.
Well, because you don't have money. You mean, first of all,
I was
going to strip clubs when I had like a couple $1,000 in my pocket on the weekend.
But even
I was
like
making $300,000 a year. I'd go to strip club.
Right. You know? Even like a go-go, like it's the drinks are
go-go
cheaper.
Bar.
Whatever, the drinks are cheaper, and there's naked girls, and like I always want to go, and my friends are like, "That's a waste of money. That's stupid." And
well,
I'm like, I think
because listen, when you drive a Porsche and you make a lot of money. And you're handsome, and you're in good shape, and you go to a strip club.
Yeah,
they love you.
Yeah, that's true.
You're the white. You are the knight coming in. It's almost like the Pretty Woman. You know, where he takes her out of from being a whore.
Yeah,
yeah.
You come in there, and they see you, and they're like, oh, I'm gonna hang out with this guy.
You think that's how they feel? Like this guy's gonna change?
They
my
think
life?
They that you're the knight. That's the white. That's the whole idea. The white knight coming to take them away.
Why is he gotta be white?
But listen, well,
just kidding.
Listen. The Grand Wizard says so. That's why.
The Grand
I don't know, but I, you know, I was gonna say, but I have a rule. Now I always tell my friends, if you're ever gonna go to a strip club, you're gonna date strippers. There's a 2-week rule. You date a stripper for 2 weeks, you get rid of her.
No matter how
good it's getting, no matter what it is, you just dump it.
Right. Why is that?
Well, because eventually it's going to fall apart miserably.
Probably, yeah.
It's like taking off on a pirate ship with a bad boat.
Well, because they have nothing, and then you have a lot of stuff.
No, so. and they get their mental. Trust me, most of the time the next thing happens, and then they... No, trust me. 2 weeks. That's it. There's no. That's it. It's one of those rules.
Yeah.
You know, that's right under the 10th commandment.
Okay.
You know, they left that one out.
I would go 2 months.
2 months?
The last stripper I did, it was... 1999. It was like a week. She got rid of me. Good. She was crazy. They're all really crazy.
It's a 2-week dude. And then because a lot of times what happens if you dump one, and then you go back,
you
know what happens?
You
know, here's what happens in the locker rooms of the strip clubs. The women, they're like, she's all upset because she doesn't understand why.
Yeah.
All the other strippers are wondering what's got her all beefed up. What's got her all mad? And they're like, oh, Doug left me. And they're like, why do you do that? I don't know.
He's an asshole.
I've been fucking him. Everything's been great.
No, he's an asshole. That's all the girls say. He's an asshole.
No, he's an asshole.
There's never, like, maybe I was right. It's always, he's an asshole.
You're right.
So all the girls hate you.
And yet, men can't say women are crazy anymore.
No, absolutely not.
So what happened? Oh, she went crazy. But they can say that, oh, he's an asshole.
Right. You get you.
Even with your guy friends, like, she was a bitch. Your guy friends would be like, oh, come on, man. That's a little too much.
Turn that mic up so I can hear you.
Turn it up.
Not up. There you go. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, well, it was
and anyway, so that but that being said, it's that time for the show where we.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Thank you, Peter. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from here and around the world and make fun of them.
Okay.
Yep.
There's a lot of work in this one, show.
Yeah, man. Well, you know.
This is definitely not video.
No, there's no video.
And it wasn't recording when we were in here.
No.
All right, good, because there was some embarrassing shit.
Yeah.
James was talking about how he thinks his penis is small, and I was like, it's not.
And he comes quickly.
That's how it feels when somebody mentions something that didn't.
Yeah.
Just making sure.
Yeah, we were talking about in the car how a small penis.
Yeah. That's good, dude. It's nice to admit it. You know, it's the first part. It's like alcoholism.
I wish I had a small. I got a fucking grandfather clock down here. It's fucking annoying. I got to like. You see me. If you watch me, like,
yeah.
I'm always touching myself. I'm always moving my legs.
It's you know, annoying. You're like trying to sell me a Cadillac when I'm, you know, when I'm not interested. I don't know. Here's a story. North Carolina woman given the wrong lottery ticket wins. In Raleigh, North Carolina, a North Carolina woman was given the wrong lottery game ticket and is celebrating the mistake.
Well, my first question is wrong in what sense? That it's somebody else's ticket or the weren't the numbers that she guessed? Because it's a very, whatever we make fun of is going to depend on that.
How's it wrong?
Yeah.
I think is there somebody out there who got the right numbers, but they gave her the wrong ticket?
It says here that she wanted to buy the Carolina Panthers lottery game ticket, the scratch-off Sunday. But the store clerk gave her a 777 ticket instead.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah.
And then she won.
Yeah, Carmichael said she normally would have asked the clerk to give her what she asked for.
That's a lot less exciting, that story.
But she did. She decided instead of keeping it.
She got fired?
Nope. When it's actually it's publicity when these places win they get part of the money right.
You're right. Yeah. That's good actually.
When she began scratching the card in her car, she thought she had only won $7, but it turns out she won $277,777.
How long do you think that's gonna last?
You know, as a financial advisor, I can tell you it's always interesting. Usually, people who don't have money quickly lose it versus those who have had it.
If I won that money, what would you tell me to do first thing?
Write me a check.
Just give it all to
you. Yeah, just, you know, I'll take care of it.
Okay.
I here's some advice. Whenever you accumulate wealth, the first thing you do is you look at the most important things. You got a savings bucket. You got a bucket of money that you have in case something goes wrong. Mm-hmm. Like in my household, I have to have $30,000 in savings. If it's sitting in a bank account, then I have a lot less stress, right? And then I can make money. Then I got that. Then I got to worry about the next bucket. I got to worry about putting away money, you know, so if I want to take a year off. Or I want to have, you know, I need to take a break, or something happens where I want to be in control.
Yeah,
I call it my Olympic money. You know, the money I may need in case I go through the $30,000.
So you're saying I should just not even spend the money, live my normal life, I guess, and just have that all.
Oh yeah, what do you know?
That's not that much money.
No, $277,000. You put that shit away. You put some money in the bank. What are you going to do? What are you going to change? You're going to start wearing fucking like suede shoes?
No, I don't. I don't care about the way I dress. So I don't know. I don't have any expensive taste. I think I would just... I'd probably get a nicer place in the city.
Yeah.
But other than that...
Living arrangements, your everyday happiness is good.
Right. Other than that, I would just keep doing this, I guess, doing comedy auditions.
$250,000?
I mean, it's all personal. I mean, I'd pay off my parents' equity. I'd fucking...
take care of the family.
I would set aside 2 years of rent and bills. I would put the rest towards my multiple sclerosis bills. And I don't think there'd be any left for savings.
Well,
would you keep going out on the road, or would you start auditioning more?
Listen, I am looking for any reason to get the fuck off the road.
Yeah,
the road has ruined my life.
So
I was. You look at me, 2006. I am a happy, good looking, wealthy, healthy guy in a good relationship, and everything changed when the fucking writer's strike started, and I had to play the road. And all it did was ruin my career.
Is that what affected like the TV? TV work was a writer's strike.
Everybody, Harry Basil always says, you know Harry Basil?
Yeah,
he always says everybody got knocked down a level. So that's why celebrities are all over TV now. That's why Julia Roberts is doing Netflix
commercials.
Right.
To doing commercials. Just,
yeah, but what? So now people who they took my job. So people who had my job, we are now guest roles, and they also cut the guest role budget. I made $10,000 on Harry's Law after taxes and commission, six, and then when I did Castle, I made $3,000 after taxes and commission, 1,200. Couldn't even pay
Jesus
that.
Christ!
Wow!
So then, so now people who have guest roles, they got shoved down to co-star roles, and so Harry and other people were movie directors, and now they're direct to DVD movie directors. You know what I mean?
Right.
Everybody got shoved down a level, so I got shoved down a level. I fought for a while, and then after a while, I had to start playing the road. I gained fucking 60 pounds. I lost my fucking girlfriend. I lost my good career.
Right.
You know, like, getting auditions that I wanted. So it's like, if you're not around, you can't audition. If you're not around, you can't keep your girlfriend. If you're not around, you can't save money.
Right.
So it was just my health. I'm pretty sure I got MS due to the stress in weight gain of playing the road.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that something that, because, I mean, it's amazing. When
nobody knows where MS came from.
No?
No. They say they think it's a germ in your stool, a germ in your body, in your gut.
Right.
That's recent studies.
Hmm.
You know?
But like a toxicity that develops
within.
Nobody
knows where autoimmune disease come from.
Yeah.
But it's like, that really killed me financially. But it came at the worst time. So it's like, if I had $270,000, I'd give half it to my parents. Maybe not half. I'd give them $100,000. I'd give them $100,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they have, you know, they busted their ass for me when the writer's strike came around.
Yeah.
And I would, the rest, I'd put aside 2 years, rent the bills. That's probably another $100,000. And then there's $77,000. I'd probably put half of that towards MS and half towards savings.
That's it.
No, actually, no. I have debts to pay off.
Yeah,
I want to close my American Express card. I want to close my fucking... Yeah, we lead very different lives. When you're like, I have $30,000 in the bank at all times, that has... I haven't seen that since 2009.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always the weirdest thing. Like, you mentioned it earlier, but there's a Florida comic, young lady, I don't know if I mentioned her name, but he mentioned there's a lot of people that are getting out of the business.
Yeah.
Right, he mentions a lot of people...
Them.
Because there's too many comics.
Too many comics.
There's too many comics.
Money's gone down.
The money's gone down. So there's a lot of people that just can't do it anymore. You know, it's just not feasible for them. Yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, I'm blessed, again, because I run my own practice as a financial advisor. I can work from my laptop anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And I have a phone, you know, so I don't have to be punching a clock and being there from Monday to Friday and then trying to scram out the door. Boss, right. Can I please go and do the open mic?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm fortunate to do that. And when I take a gig, I don't have to worry about the money. So all I care about is the development of my talent.
That was like me when I started. How long have you been doing it?
12 years.
Yeah. So you're like me when I started.
Right.
Because you have that thing back up. You know, I just want to get the fuck off the road and enjoy my life again. I just had a friend, 45 years old, die of a heart attack. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, I really want to fucking get the fuck off the road.
Yeah.
He was a road dog?
No, he wasn't even a comic. He was just a guy.
Yeah.
Family. Just a really good guy. So what I'm saying is, the road used to be a goal for comedians.
Right.
And now I don't think it is. I think it's more of a means of survival.
Yeah, I've been the only reason I've been doing it for the last few years hard.
Well, you're different because you're an odd case.
Yeah.
That you even have $30,000 in the bank. You're an odd case.
Well, meaning...
What I'm saying is, can I borrow $500?
Yeah.
And by borrow, I mean never see again.
Yeah. I just act like I'm giving it to one of my brothers. But what I mean by that is like, part of my whole plan was I wanted to get good at what I do. So,
yeah,
it was like, as long as I wasn't spending money, it was like a university on the road. So the road to me was just a way to get polished.
Right.
And develop and get your act and your career. Yeah. And then, but there's definitely, I'm at that point now already where I'm like, okay, I wouldn't mind just now working on A, more writing, B, and, you know, changing, like, and preparing an album. And then, like you said, getting off the road, like just basically spending more time at home.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful.
Hey, right.
Hey, well, that was a hell of a lottery detour.
We did. It was good. We got a lot out of that story. Yeah. And we did talk about Rhodes, which kind of is a nice transition.
Whoever wrote that article is a real asshole because he knew writing wrong ticket would get us to read it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
When it's not
absolutely
a wrong ticket
yeah
at all.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Poorly chosen.
It's clickbait.
But it's clickbait.
Thank you.
I love clickbait. But John Cleese makes Taylor Swift, insults Taylor Swift when you watch it. He doesn't insult her at all.
Yeah.
He made fun of her cat being fed.
Speaking of roads, Pennsylvania woman claims she drove on train tracks because the GPS told her to.
What part of the country is this?
Pennsylvania. You were looking at your phone.
Is it Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Well, I heard everything else besides that.
Well, around 10 p.m. Let's see. Police. I'll get to it. Around 10 p.m. last Wednesday in
Dukakis.
The police department responded to a call about a vehicle on the railroad tracks. And an even villain with a funny mustache with a rope tying her up to it.
That's so strange.
Of the State Road 837 department wrote in the news, officers said a woman from Sewickley, roughly 15 miles northwest of Pittsburgh, had driven onto the tracks because her GPS advised her to go that way.
Of course it's a lady.
And the GPS is made by Acme. The female was 100% sober.
Is that true?
No.
Okay.
There's no way the GPS told her to drive on.
Well, you know, sometimes if you have one of those shittier GPSs, you know, what it does
she didn't update it and there used to be a road.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly.
What would the GPS say? Take left on what? Like the railroad tracks?
You're talking down in.
Hello?
See, I don't know. Never mind. Don't worry about it.
Hello.
Just radio for some people. All right. So, you know, sometimes you can't tell. Like, I hate, like, my wife's GPS and her old car was shitty. Like, it would. When you'd have to really watch it to know when to turn.
Right.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like some of them are good. They're like, oh, I can get it. This is the fucking turn.
Yeah.
But there's some that are like, oh, there it is. And you're like, oh, you know. So she was on the wrong fucking lane.
Right.
You know what I mean? She misread it.
Yeah.
The woman's vehicle was towed from the tracks and she was cited for careless driving and being a dumbass.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Some people, that's a stupefaction of technology. You know, I was reading an interesting report because a friend of mine who's very against guns. I'm believe in the Second Amendment. I have a carry permit.
Okay.
You know, but yeah. I understand that. I think there should be like, you know, I said, hey, I have an assault rifle, right?
Right.
And I have guns. I wouldn't mind if every few years they asked me for a personality test or they had a background check on me just to make sure I'm not a fucking loon all of a sudden. I wouldn't mind that for the right to own a gun. But my point then was like, look, whether it's guns, knives, anything, people are just more crazy. You know, people are doing crazier fucking things. And it's come out that now that there's a lot more suicides now than there ever been. You know, social media, there's a red report how social media has caused this decay of civilization.
I blame social media for everything.
Yeah, I believe it.
I said the only way that this country is going to get fucking normal again is if everybody gets off Facebook.
It's not even Facebook. It's Instagram and Twitter.
But Facebook is, I mean, at least on Instagram, you just post a photo and that, you know. But
I hate social media and I hate fucking, I hate the internet. I think the internet was supposed to bring everybody together, push everybody apart. Because of the internet, think of all the damage that comes out of the internet. Like fucking terrorists communicating, pedophiles.
Right.
And then, like, rapes, date rapes.
Yeah.
It's like, you know how many girls I know got pregnant on a first Tinder date and their lives are just,
yeah,
you know, I mean, they're happy, they have their baby, but they really are not.
Really?
You know what I mean? What do you mean really?
No, like, really? Like, really? Wow.
Yeah. And restaurants are like, nobody has first dates anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, and I...
No, no, yeah, sorry.
And, yeah. I hate the internet.
The one doctor in the study reads, he goes, it's interesting because before the internet... People would like you would have conversations with people, right? I'd be sitting in front of you, and I would say something from you directly to you, mm-hmm. and then you would hear it. But on the internet, what it is, you speak into something,
yeah,
and then from that, it speaks that inanimate object speaks to that person. So, it subconsciously, that's what's happening. That's why people will say shit on the internet,
yeah,
that they won't say to your face. That's why people, when you post something, will be emboldened to just judge you for every little thing you do.
I try very hard not to write something negative. Sometimes I watch a show on Netflix and I go, I want to say I didn't like the show.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? And it all started because I know everybody. Like, I wanted to rip on a show, and I was like, I know the casting director, and I know the guest role. I know the makeup lady. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's like one of them was on my Facebook.
Right.
So I was just like, why would I do
that? Why
would
you do that, yeah.
So like, I hate when people do it to me, so why am I doing it to people? Mm-hmm. So I actually go out of my way not to attack or be negative at all on social media, unless it's like, hey, my flight's late. I fucking hate Delta.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's the only type of thing I'll do.
Yeah, because no one on Facebook works for Delta.
But you know what I'm saying? But they don't care.
They understand it. You know, they're not as, they work in the airline business. Yeah,
I'm not friends with Anthony Delta.
By the way, it's funny you mentioned that because it was about a year ago, and I think I've gotten sick of late night TV because you know
it's the worst.
It's the same fucking jokes over and over again.
I want to bam out somebody right now, but I just said I wouldn't.
Well, I wish you're committed. I said something like, I think it was on the Seth Meyers show. I said, you know, can the writers do something else? Like I made a comment, like, is there anything else out there in the world besides what they're writing about? Like, can we find something? And then I realized that some friend I acquired on Facebook was a writer on the fucking show.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's funny. It's true when you say that, you know?
It's like you can't – back – again, when that didn't happen, when you would vent about this shit, you would just talk about the people around you. These people wouldn't hear about it. So you still had, like, an opinion. Now when people voice their opinions, people are like, you're a piece of shit. You're wrong.
Right.
And then, or you can get in trouble. So people don't even want to voice their opinions anymore. So they're,
no, I don't. I certainly don't want
to. Yeah, but you used before without now people just go to the internet to do it.
Yeah,
before it was just like, hey Brian, you hear about this?
I stopped talking about politics and stuff. I said, you know, it's not even worth. But when they had the tear gassing of those immigrants, you know, it's a horrible situation anyway. When anybody's trying to get out of a country because it's a shithole,
yeah,
and things happen, it's tough. But there's also realities, you know, like if everybody wanted to move to California right now, they couldn't. If everybody basically said we really want to go to California, you can't. Not everybody can.
I understand why we don't have just like an Ellis Island situation down there like we used to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why not just like if we are the country that's supposed to let people in and we can't just let everybody in all at once, they have to follow a certain thing.
Right.
Why can't we just have a fucking Ellis Island situation? My great grandparents came over through Ellis Island.
Right.
You know, so it's like I don't want to tell these people they can't.
Right.
So why not just have a fucking Ellis Island situation down at the border? It seems to me like that. Like I can understand money. Mm-hmm. I understand money's the problem, but it's like it seems to me that would be the way to make both people happy. Well, both sides happy.
There's a certain legit. Like if you go to a nightclub in Miami, you know when the club opens early in the stage of the night, you have a little more leniency to letting people in as the club fills and it becomes. Yeah. You have to be a little more stringent.
Yeah.
So, in a bad analogy, that's almost what's happened to this country at this point. Okay?
Well, people go, you don't let me in, you're racist. So, like, then they start throwing that around.
You know, my wife's family.
Give me a room in Ellis Island, leave them there for 5 years.
My wife's from Cambodia. So, when people say I'm not, my father came to the States in 63 with the World's Fair with Ford from Europe. Ford brought him here, and then he busted his ass here, and blah, 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 brought everybody over.
Right.
Right. My wife's family, we sponsored people for. You know, thousands of dollars to come here and follow a process. There's a process. Yeah. So, and an immigration attorney's informed me that when somebody comes over without going through the process and skips through the process and, in a sense, cuts in line, the people who are trying to do it legally now have just doubled the time because of the case and the workloads and da da da. It all gets stressed. So, it's not that you'd get, but somebody posted this photo of that one girl, this one girl, her mom, and she was the girl, you looked like 6 years old. 5-6 years old, she had no pants on, no shoes, and she was wearing a diaper. So everybody else making, this is the politics of it. And my point was a little more to the point of the picture. It was a philosophy background. I said, is anybody else noticing that this young girl doesn't have any pants on or shoes? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, I get the point that things are tough, but, you know, when the mother's sitting there with a purse, a fucking handbag, a hat...
Okay.
You know what I mean? There was certain things about the photo that was odd to me. And I had people just like, you fucking asshole, you this. I'm like, no, you don't get it. I'm just commenting on the goddamn photo. I'm not getting into the whole deal. So it's just amazing how we talked about that.
Yeah, I don't even get my news. I don't get my news from the internet.
Yeah.
I don't want except for like the Mars stuff. You know, like NASA's I was like, I'll read that. I don't think NASA's fucking out to do anything. You know what I mean?
Not a lot of fake news about NASA.
I love people like, NASA's bullshit doesn't exist. I'm like, so you're saying all those people who work for NASA are all lying.
Yeah.
They're all actors.
What do we have to gain?
They're crisis actors.
You know, I do now if I'm dating someone, I don't do no social media with them. I get their number, Yeah. I'll text him, call him. I tell him, don't follow me. I'm like, I'm not going to look at your Instagram.
Right.
I'm not going to look at your Twitter.
That's got to be hard nowadays if you're dating someone with as much social media.
I don't want to see it.
I got it because I would date people and then I would follow them on these things and then if we would break up. I would be looking at them like, why? Like, get out of here. Get out of my life, you know?
I mean, the last thing you want to do is see an ex, like, before, when I was dating as a kid, the last thing you want to do is see an ex-girlfriend.
But you would have to worry about that because you may see them once a month at the supermarket or if you're at school, then it's bad. But, like, for me, it's just like, I don't even want to, you text me, I'll text you back because I like you, call me, we'll make plans. That's all we need. I don't need to see you in your past and your fucking, you can tell me that in person.
Yeah, right.
So I try to, like, so when I told this girl I'm dating now, I'm like, I don't do any of that shit. And she, like, the other day, she was like, I was stalking you. I'm so sorry. Like, think of my accident. I'm like, I don't care. But, like,
you can do whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want. I'm not going to get involved with that. I don't want. And then we break up, and I'm seeing you didn't watch my Instagram story. I'm like, you're a cunt. You know, I can't do it. I can't. I'll go crazy about it, you know? So it's more for me.
You went right to the C word.
Huh? Yeah, really. Jeez. There goes our
Instagram story.
I get worked up.
There goes our non explicit label on this podcast.
You can take that out. You're a catch. That's what I meant to say. You're a catch.
It's a catch.
Anyway. But you know, but that's how I don't. So you know, and it's just stupid. And then, like today, if I were to go on, whatever, I look at my Instagram, and then she posted something, and then I see something like, "Who's that?" You know, it's just stupid. You know, so I don't like. I have full trust that you like me, and then I don't need to have all these other dark things like clouding my judgment. You know.
Well, this is Dating Hour with James Camacho, everybody. If you.
I'm trying something different. Everyone else is like, if you don't follow me, we're not really dating.
Yeah, I don't know if I would. That's the thing. Now, like there's days I used to be a player, you know, back years ago before I was married. So you can't be a player nowadays.
That's what
internet.
People think, too. Like, oh, you don't want to be on social media because they think you're into. Yeah. But all my stuff is public because it's for comedy, you know? So, yeah. And I only post, like, here's my show. I don't post opinions at all.
Right.
So,
well, that's good.
I'm open book.
Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank, of course, Brian Sklar for joining us today. And, of course, James Camacho.
I'm so hungry.
By the way, this weekend in Miami, go to the Comedy Inn in Miami.
Yeah, you motherfuckers.
Friday and Saturday
night. You're way funnier than this, I promise.
8 and 10:30 shows out there. It's $40 open bar.
$40? Nice.
Pay attention. $40 for the show open bar.
Yeah.
While you're there. There's no better deal.
The open bar.
Yeah. $40 a ticket with an open bar. So that's Friday and Saturday. Sure. On Friday, I won't be there. I'll be in Lakeland at Winter Circle in Lakeland, Florida, along with my good buddy Nadim Awad. And we'll be stopping by Saturday, though, and hanging out with you guys. So check it out on Saturday. And Thursday night, you guys can't come to our show at Bremen because it's a private motor car member, Bremen Motors. Unless you have a Bremen motor car, make sure you reserve tickets, although I think it's pretty sold out already. So other than that, fuck it. Follow our show on Twitter, Wake Up Dougie. You can follow me at Dougie Dangerous on Instagram and social media. And go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates. Going to be in North Carolina and stuff. How about you? Anything in particular?
This is internet, right? Let's see. I'm doing New York City next week. And then I'm all over New York City all of December. The Comedy Cell, the Comic Strip, stand-up in New York, Gotham, New York Comedy Club, Broadway. And then I'm going to Hartford. The end of the month, and I'm headlining Side Splitters in Tampa on New Year's Eve, the 30th, 31st, and 29th, and then I'm doing Montreal Comedy Nest first weekend in January.
Nice.
Then I'll be committing suicide the week after.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at CamachBro, CamachBro. I'm in New York also. I do the comic strip, I do New York Comedy Club, Gotham. I think I'll be at Gotham December 11th. December 16th. But yeah, I'll be in New York for all of December. I'll be in the Dayton Funny Bone then January 4th to 6th. And on New Year's Eve, I'll be in Saratoga Springs. And please come see me. And I'm new at this. So.
Just don't beg. All right, anyway, guys, thanks for coming to the show. And next week, we'll have all new shows on Monday here in the studio, Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Thanks for catching us. And
Merry Christmas.
Until next time, guys. Happy see you here at the next at the same spot.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. Sorry, it was so serious.
No, it's fun.
Yellow colors of a thousand. sunset. He traveled through the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as he landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. The beaming light hit the ground. Through the door to the world of another.